Welcome to the Infinite Life Podcast. I'm your host, Katish Haberfield. As a spiritual regression therapist, spirit releasement therapist, and medium, I help my clients to break free of karmic behaviors and limiting beliefs impacting their lives. This free podcast takes you behind the scenes in sessions with my clients as they experience regression sessions and celestial healings, as they access the wisdom of their sub and superconscious mind and witness the unfolding story of their soul. I hope this podcast provides you with inspiration and insights that can be applied to your life. Hey, it's Katisha. Just a quick reminder that this is part two of our discussions with Tina Irwin. So this part will make no sense if you didn't listen to last week's episode. So go back and listen to that one. Thanks.
So we've covered the immune system and all the different ways that we can help with the immune system. So what's the next thing that we need to learn about what we can use in our house?
I think one of the really important things to look at is feng shui. Because when you raise your frequency, when you understand energetic elements inside your home that are influencing you, you begin to understand that your home is your larger body.
Okay.
So you have the soul work within, learning all about yourself and strengthening your auric field. But what about your home? Is it full of clutter? Do you have auric residue everywhere that you clean in your house is never clean? Maybe something's haunting you. Do you feel like dark things are always coming? Is there a way to look around you to find out what is this other influence that's happening? And when you understand feng shui, you begin to learn that you have power over this you wouldn't have imagined. And one of the ways that you have power is through pushing the energy back or redirecting energy to you in a positive way. This is about, I use the word power, not people think of power as something terrible, but when you have the power to direct energy toward you in a positive way or to deflect energy that is very negative for you, it can be enormously changing. And I'll give you an example. One of my brothers worked in Hollywood for years he worked for the Screen Actors Guild, but he had an apartment in Los Angeles, and the guy in the apartment next to him was a chain smoker. And as we discovered feng shui in the 90s, was life-changing for us, absolutely life-changing. So we learned about pushing energy away using mirrors. When you look in a mirror, you see whatever you look at is reflected back. He went to a hardware store, department store, wherever you get mirrors. He got a full-length mirror, like you look to see how you're dressed, just a cheap mirror. And then he wrote no smoking on it. Big thing with no smoking. And then he faced that mirror to the wall, to the guy's wall. They had a shared wall. So he was looking at the back of the mirror. In about 2 weeks, the guy moved. And there was no indication he was going to move prior to that. All of a sudden he moved. And I've watched this happen. A friend of mine put up feng shui mirrors, and the hoarders across the street moved. We had neighbors that the family was so destructive. They created, I don't know how many elements of vandalism. They had physically attacked our daughter. So we put up feng shui mirrors on the side of the house that faced their property. Within 3 months, they moved. And it's as if I don't wish you harm, but you have to stop the behavior that is causing me harm. Now, I had somebody ask me, suppose somebody put a feng shui mirror in the face of my house. I said, if you're a really good person, you're going to feel great. because all your goodness is being reflected back to you. And she was at peace with that. Now, you asked an interesting question. With all of these different tools that a person could use, how do you do them all, whether it's feng shui or you're not going to use them all at once. You start with a couple and then you add on. And it's like summer ends and it becomes fall and you add a sweater and then you add a jacket and you add a scarf and boots and gloves and more stuff, thicker coat. So you start adding more and more until you feel that sense of peace and calm. And then you learn how all these different elements can help you. Mm. And if you don't want to do feng shui or you don't know a consultant, you can start studying the books and begin to understand how that works too. Mm. That was another huge thing for us to understand that.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Sorry. So if I could give you an example, as you may or may not know, and most of my listeners know, when I purchased my townhouse, I purchased it not knowing, I hadn't read any of your books, obviously, directly opposite hospital. And do that again.
Oh, yeah.
And let's add in the second layer. My house faces the returned soldiers' wing. So it's all the Afghan, Vietnam veterans. It's their mental health ward. So when they come out, bless their souls, and I do everything that I can to help them, they come out and it's a hospital. They're not allowed to smoke, right? But let's be honest, they're encouraged to smoke as soldiers, right? So they've got a lifelong
addiction,
right? So these poor gentlemen have seen horrific things. They've been involved in horrific things. They use smoking as a stress mechanism. And so they sit outside. There's basically our house, the road, and then a strip of lawn. And they sit there and smoke. And I've just let my plants grow higher and to filter it. And I am not going to write a letter of complaint to the hospital because these guys, this is what they need. And you know, I go out of my way to try and help these guys and get them chairs and stuff and so they can be at peace out the front of my house, basically, because their energy floats on over and all of the ghosts and things that are attached to them float on over. But when you mentioned the cigarette smoke, I just thought I'd had to put up with it. Obviously, I can't put a mirror in my garden because it's a very busy road and I don't want the lights to catch in a driver's eye and cause some kind of accident. How would you interpret that with the smoking component?
Well, there are a whole bunch of things you can do with that. That's a great example of what you can do. First, do you have windows that face them?
Yes.
You have a couple of options. Do you have a blank wall that faces the hospital? Mm-hmm. Then put a mirror that faces the hospital underneath the painting on a blank wall.
Ah, okay. Good one. Yep.
That won't create a safety hazard because it's very responsible of you.
Yep.
When someone comes to your house, it won't look like a Chinese brothel and you have weird mirrors everywhere that you have to constantly explain.
Mm-hmm.
They may not need to smoke as much with that. You might be surprised. It might be very helpful. The other thing is you can also put on the Ghost Helper's website, you can get crossing over prayer cards. They look like this.
Okay.
And there's instructions on the front and the back on what to do. You can put this underneath something else. I have one in my window so that any ghost that's coming toward you, you're crossing them over and you don't have to lift a finger. You're just doing that little spiritual service. Now, if it's a very big hospital and it's not just the Vietnam, it's not just war veterans, it's everybody else, accident victims and whatever. Any mirrors that you put there, you intention that they keep those souls where they are, and you can intention that those souls are guided to the light if those people die by whatever the method. And then you have next to that the crossing over prayer. And that will do two things. It protects you, and it provides huge spiritual service for the dead at the hospital, and may actually alleviate problems at the hospital. You could be doing enormous service. And I'll tell you another example why. There was a children's wing at Scripps Hospital here when we lived in San Diego. One of the nurses came to me and said, "Wait, we have this room, and every time a child's in that room, they come out with a breathing problem. If they go in with a broken leg, they come out with a breathing problem every single time." I said, "You have a ghost child in there, died there. And they died of pneumonia or asthma or something." And yeah, I cleared the ghost. But what they did was they got stacks of these prayer cards. When they renovated the hospital, they put these cards in all of the rooms. That meant that all those people who are now getting additionally, peripherally sick won't. Mm. That is, again, it's just really huge. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, they can. They do. They come floating over, and as soon as they die on the operating theater or whatever, yeah. And I know when there's a new round of Vietnam or Afghanistan, and vets turn up before I even see them, because the energy just drifts on over straight away. Yeah.
When you have been in a war zone, this is another one of the elements of pyroluria I meant to mention. So I'm glad I have an opportunity. The reason these people become so murderous is because their adrenal glands are blown. When someone is in a war zone, when a human being has suffered any form of trauma, they have post-traumatic stress disorder, whether you're raped, you're in a horrific car accident, you're the only one who survives a train accident, you survived a war and everybody else died, roadside bomb, I mean, earthquake, volcanic, pick the trauma. Mm. You have so much adrenaline. Could be a police officer, an ER doctor, ER nurse. So much adrenaline. Day after day, you blow your adrenals. Once they're blown, if somebody cuts you off in traffic, you might get half an ounce of adrenaline. But that person gets a cupful, and it's explosive. And the reason so many of them smoke is because smoking is a vasoconstrictor. It constricts the blood vessels, and it's one of the few ways they can control the adrenaline.
No, I didn't know
that. I don't think most people have any idea that, look at all the different things we get to share just because you shared that situation you have. Look at the ramifications of knowing there's something you can do. It can be positive. I don't know. I just think this is really exciting to understand these things in this way. So when somebody comes back, if they don't get adrenal support, they're drugging these people up, which exacerbates the lack of adrenal support. When you face them, when you use the pyroluria supplements, you begin to heal the adrenal glands. When they are healed and they are calm, a lot of amazing things can happen. One of the things that causes a person to have a lot of negative entities with them is alcohol, tobacco, and drugs. Tobacco shreds your auric field. Okay. Alcohol drops your auric field to zero. Captain, our shields are gone. That's really what happens. Drugs do the same thing. So now you've got all these people on psychotropic drugs, which have dropped their auric field, their immune system to zero. They have no adrenal support, and they get mad and they're shooting people. Gee, what a surprise. Yeah. This is excruciatingly logical. This isn't metaphysics. It's physics 101. Sorry, I didn't mean to get on my
No, I feel exactly the same way. It's I didn't know that tobacco shredded the auric field. That makes sense.
Well, there's so many carcinogens in tobacco smoke, which you don't have in the smoke of the resins. And you don't use incense because incense have binders and fillers, which contaminate the pure resins. That's why you don't use incense. If you just like it because it smells good, like Nag Champa or something, that's fine. But don't expect it to clear space.
No.
And don't use it to clear your auric field.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I think that was all I had to ask about that. I'll just share a little story just because we're sharing stories yesterday. So I was in my bedroom and I witnessed the most incredible thing. I do have this tiny little window that's covered with a grid that if there's like a lot of anger out there, I can go and have a look and see what's happening just to make sure everything's okay from my perspective. And there's a gentleman over there at the moment who's in a very bad state of mind and yelling and talking to people that aren't there, but also just really abusive to the other soldiers. And it was yesterday it was bucketing down with rain, just really pelting down. And he went out to have his smoke and I could hear him just yelling at the other soldiers straight away. And I was like, oh dear. And then he pushed himself with his little walker up the road and sat by himself under the umbrella in torrential rain, trying to have a smoke. And I could see his legs were shaking and his hands were shaking. And I was just, oh, this poor man, he's in such a bad state. So I just asked angels if there's any way that you can help this poor man remove entities or give him comfort, please direct some energy to this poor man right now. And I just sat there and I watched him for a few minutes, and out of what seemed out of nowhere, but I'm sure it wasn't out of nowhere, this, I guess he was another soldier, I couldn't see where he came from, this big burly guy just walked up to this veteran, got on his knees and put him in a bear lock of a hug and literally stroked his knee and his arm and hugged him and just let him, the other veteran, just yell at him for 5 minutes and tell his story and comfort him. And the other guy was just saturated because he was bearing the brunt of the rain. And the simple human touch, 20 minutes later, this guy had stopped screaming at the world and he could sit there and quietly have his smoke. And then this other guy just walked away. I was like, was that a real person? Was that an angel? Like, I was in tears just watching the transformation that this poor fella went through when this guy just stopped, got down on his knees and listened to him and hugged him. And today there's been no yelling across that road. It's just like, well, wow.
I applaud you. That is the most compassionate thing you could possibly have done. And you witnessed a miracle.
Yeah, it was. I've never seen anything like that. It was like, yeah, I've got goosebumps just talking about it. It was just magical.
But I can't thank you enough for sharing that, because one of the definitions of a miracle are things that human beings do for God. And this was something that you did. You thought you did it for that human being, but you did it for God, showing the depth of compassion in your heart. That was the miracle. And when that gentleman, whoever it was, and their angels earn karma by helping the living. And the more we ask those angels to help us or help another person, the more they get to do their job. It is a great benefit to the angels to ask for help in that kind of way. So you have my deepest respect for that.
Thank you. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Because somebody had said to me, why do you work with the angels so much? Because it's we're not supposed to.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's crap.
And they were told that by the church, and I don't want to get into a religion bashing thing, but where has this myth come from, do you think, that we can't ask the angels for help? When my experience is, it's the easiest, the fastest, and the most productive thing you can do is to ask the angels for help. Why do we think that there's this myth in humanity that you're not allowed to talk to the angels?
My theory, it's just my theory, is that it's so that you are held in a kind of bondage. You are made to believe you were born in sin and you died in sin, which is not true. You're born in karma and you die with whatever karma you created, which can be fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And I've had so many people say, I couldn't impose on an angel. It's like, really, why not? What do you think they're here for? They are here to help human beings grow, but they cannot interfere with free will. Kind of like the prime directive on Star Trek. When you are able to call upon them with direction, I never sent my kids when they were teenagers without a car full of angels. Not because I anticipated a problem, but because I wanted to make sure everyone was always going to be okay and that the frequency of the car was really high. Imagine if everyone knew that they could call upon angels with love and respect and gratitude. What could we do for the world? What could we do for the world? If you have a trauma, if you have the Turkey earthquake took place, I was so horrified for those people. I just sent legions of angels to Turkey to help every soul. Some of these people didn't have much to begin with. Some people were in high rises and their high rise fell. Some people were in the street. It's a horrible thing. I'm not there. I can't throw money at it, but I can request with humility and gratitude the assistance of angels. And just like you did with this man, astounding things happen. My brother, my Hollywood brother, was always in meetings with all these contentious attorneys and producers and directors, and people were always angry. So he came up with this really cool tool. I'll call it a spiritual tool. He would ask that angels fill the conference room. He didn't ask them to do anything, to interfere with another person's free will. He asked that they simply be in the room and be present. And he said that it was jaw-dropping how much better the meetings were. Mm-hmm. And he would do it every time. And it is really quite remarkable when you make that request. If I'm removing ghosts, and some of them are children, I always bring in a child angel. If I have an adult who's angry and guilty, maybe I don't deserve to go to heaven. God can't love me. And God could never love me. When I bring in a child angel and the child slips their hand into that person's hand, they melt just like that right in front of me. And then they're gently guided into the light. For an angel, this is awesome. They get to help. They get to just shed that divine light in the most glorious way. And I think your example should be the best example. We've got homeless people all over. I don't know if Australia has this problem.
Oh, yeah.
But the United States is epidemic. And I did something. Not only that, we've got 85,000 unaccompanied minors that came through the southern border. There's no accountability. They vanished. 85,000 children. So when I'm doing my prayer work and my spiritual work at night, I send angels to all 85,000 children. And someone says, wasn't that a lot of angels? That's a lot of children. The heaven world can find the resources. So I'm opening the door and encouraging people to use this. People say, how do you change the world? Sometimes it's one angel at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's I found it profound. And I have had nothing but assistance when asked. when asking for angels. And yeah, like I said, it's just that, just try and see. Just try.
There's another element to here, to asking for angels, that I want to make sure people understand. And that element is this. When you make the thought or the verbal request for an angel, you have instantly connected to God. Instantly, you've asked God. You didn't need an intermediary. You made a direct connection to God in your request. Well, the more you do that, the more you are connected to the divine. The more you are connected to the divine, the higher your frequency. The higher your frequency, the stronger your immune system and your auric field, which means the higher the frequency of your entire home. And you begin to see that this is echoing out. Mm. It is one of the most dynamic tools you could have.
Great. And I know that if people don't know how to ask for God or talk to God or an angel, you can just start with this book, because your book, Crossing Over Prayer, because there's all sorts of prayers in there, and I use them all the time to ask for assistance for other people. It's amazing what you can do. And even just the simple prayer to be of spiritual service that you've got in there is just even helpful just for yourself.
Yes. The more that we can find within ourselves that compassion for others, it just makes a difference. It changes us. So imagine that as you're asking, you're saying these prayers, the prayers, about 95% of them request the assistance of an angel. When you're doing that, you're turning on a light inside your own cells when you make that connection to God. And I think that is really, it's an astounding thing to do.
The other thing that I discovered the other day, which sometimes I find things and I think, why did I discover it? Anyway, I found, and I'm not a Bible reading person, but I found Psalm 23.
Yep.
Oh my God. That can change the energy in the room like that.
Yep.
Can you explain to us how that works? For some, my belief is Psalm 23 works no matter what religion or not religion that you are. It's like this, the encoding of that psalm is just mind-blowing.
The 23rd Psalm exists in some format in every major religion in the world. It is a universal psalm or prayer. And I've actually studied why is this so powerful. It's basically another form of the crossing over prayer.
Ah, okay. That's what I thought. It was like, as soon as you say it, they just, the light bulb goes in and they cross.
Exactly. Many more people are going to know the 23rd Psalm than the crossing over prayer. And the 23rd Psalm acknowledges the fourth dimension. Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I'm thinking, what is this evil? Oh my gosh, it's the lower realm intelligences. It's the dark beings. It's the claw people. It's these awful things that come at a person sometimes when they die. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yeah, there's evil in the fourth dimension. Because too many people don't cross over. Murderers don't cross over. I mean, it's really bad. When you say, thou art with me, means God is with you. And studying all the elements of that psalm enable you to understand this was given to us so we would use it to cross over. Mm. And if people were to say it at every funeral, you wouldn't have as many ghosts.
Mm.
Unless the soul isn't at their funeral. Some people are still stuck at the accident site or whatever caused their death. They're not at their funeral. Some of them have no idea they died.
Yep.
That's problematic.
Yep.
But I had a case of attempted possession in 1974, a long time ago. It's a long story, so I will shorten it. Somebody died. They looked like me, pretty identical frequency, decided she wanted my body, wouldn't leave. I was terrified. Hadn't even been married a year. And I had no idea what to do. None. And my husband was actually not at sea. And he said, this went on for hours. And I was getting more and more terrified and cold. And her face would cross over mine. It was horrifying. And he said, I have an idea. He runs upstairs. He brings down the Bible. And he opens up the 23rd Psalm. And then he did the sweetest, kindest thing. He put me in his lap. He wrapped his arms around me, which was her, because she was trying to take over human touch again. And he read the 23rd Psalm over and over. A rod and thy staff comfort me. Surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life. And he read it in his big, deep voice over and over. And as he did that, she let go. And it's like this light came and she relaxed. And then in a moment, she was gone. Mm. It absolutely works. You're 100% correct.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. I just wanted somebody else to confirm. It was just like, I listened to somebody. Again, I probably heard it first from you, but not, it's like sometimes you got to hear it several times, but then I rediscovered it a week ago and I've just been listening to different interpretations of the psalm, and just palpably, it's like I can see that when something comes into the room and I play that, I have a recording of it now. I can see the light bulb go on like a sigh of relief that this human being has, as it all makes sense to them. And then the whoosh, it's like you can see the light and they're gone. It makes me cry. It's just like the most satisfying feeling to see the how fast it works. It's just like, wow. Yeah. So again, just really, it's funny. Another layer.
It is another layer, but let's say that you don't have a Bible and you don't remember the 23rd Psalm and you don't have the crossing over prayer and you don't have it on your phone and you're in a place where there's a lot of ghosts. What can you do? Ask for a team of angels to come in and compassionately remove those ghosts right now. That's it. It can be that simple. It is that simple. So giving all of us multiple methodologies, again, keeping it simple to get these things done for anyone who wants to stop being afraid and start being helpful, I think it's just tremendous.
Yeah. Okay, was there anything else that you would like to cover, Tina, to do with tools?
Yes, if you have a child who's really psychic and this child sees these things every night, I had a case where the drug mother would come and visit the 10-year-old and she'd bring all the dead drug addicts with her. And it was the child, the family was desperate. The grandparents were desperate. They had custody. So I had the little girl ask an angel to bring in
the soul train. Okay.
And that when they use the soul train, the child drew a picture of it with the angel directing the people onto the train, that they would go to heaven and then they would leave her alone, but she had done a good thing. She sleeps in her own room now at night and she has the feeling of empowerment as a 10-year-old with psychic ability. It changed her grandmother's life dramatically. She sleeps now. Everybody gets a night's sleep. And if people have more questions, I'd be glad to answer them. But all of these tools, don't drink, don't smoke, don't do drugs, don't do violent video games. They open up a doorway to terrible darkness. Don't do tarot cards. Don't do a Ouija board. You're opening up a doorway that you have no idea how to close. And if you want to be able to feel a connection to God, talk to God. You don't need an intermediary. You don't need anything except the joy in your heart.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
We know that most young boys, and I'm going to say most because it seems to be fairly common, it's common accepted practice to play shoot 'em up games. I have two boys.
It is.
Yep. Now, how can a parent help a child to not play these games without saying, no, thou can't, because that child will inevitably find a way to crack a code, do whatever to get access to the, what's the energy behind? Is it like the mirror with the no smoking? What subtle ways can a parent help a child not be attracted to shoot 'em up games?
That is a really good question. I would say there are several avenues you could take. Dungeons and Dragons, World of Warcraft, WoW, they call it. All these, there's so many, you can't wrap your brain around them, are so addictive in their own way. I would ask that a pair of angelic spiritual police, a pair of angelic spiritual police surround them as they're playing each game and provide a barrier of protection. Because what may happen is that the attraction may just disappear if you have the intermediary is a light being. And because confrontationally saying, no, you can't do that, is a guarantee they're going to go do it. And I only had one time when I actually said no to my son. He and his buddy were doing Dungeons and Dragons, and his entire personality changed. The sweet, funny son, as a teenager I'd always known, vanished, and this grumpy, angry kid was in his place. Took me a couple weeks to find it, but once I found it, and I said, you need to understand, this is evil on a level you can't imagine. And he said, I just didn't like the game really at all. Because I said, you can blame us if you want, but it's really an evil on such a level. And he said, no, I just didn't really like it. And I never had that problem again. I mean, he never played those games again. So I think you have some options. If, depending on the relationship you have with your child, you can sit down and talk to them. You can also just send spiritual police who are angels. That would be my thought. Mm-hmm. I would also suggest that, this won't be popular, but people cut back on tattoos. Because skin is alive.
I've got no tattoos.
Yeah.
Clean skin, yeah.
Skin is alive. And it's your largest organ. They're discovering that so many tattoos, sometimes there's a toxic element to the ink.
Has to be.
But the formation of what is in the symbol becomes alive on your skin.
Okay.
And I'll give you, to me, which was a yucky example, I had a guy who was coming to my house to give me an estimate for blinds, and he had a short sleeve shirt on. He reached out to hold my hand, and his entire forearm was a black widow spider, the largest It was so jaw-dropping, I couldn't shake his hand. And I said, dude, what possessed you? That thing is horrible. And he said, I was drunk and stupid. I didn't want to give my business to someone who was drunk and stupid with a black widow spider. What is the message? And if that's that spider is like it's poisoning you. Hmm. And look at the images. So if you have the ability to gently steer a person away, that might be a good avenue to use. Hmm.
I remember, I was just wondering, it was like, I remember you told me, oh, it was at least a year ago, about the adding the word love to behind mirrors and doors and cupboards or whatever. And I went around and stickered love hearts on everything in my house. Is there an equivalent that you can slide under, say, kids' computer table or underneath the base of their monitor that would pick up the vibration, increase the vibration?
Yes. This really came from, I want people to know where this concept came from. It was Masaru Emoto. In his book, Messages from Water. So if people want to do their own research, they can. I would say that you could write love so that love, you see the backside of the paper, love is underneath the computer table. Hope, compassion, charity, safety, any of those words that you can put all those things in your water too. On your water tank or your pipes, and or stick love in backpacks and different places, not so it, they pull it out, it's going to embarrass your child because that's not cool. But all of those things will shift and make it, you can create an energetic shift with words, which again, Professor Emoto proved without a shadow of a doubt how powerful love, hope, God, angels, happiness are amazing. If you're doing a renovation to your house, write that in giant letters all over the walls and then paint your walls. Your rooms will feel like $1 million. Mm-hmm.
And one more question. It's obvious when you have a shoot 'em down game that you can see the negative and that like Dungeons and Dragons. But what about if, so, what if your child or even a partner, you know, a lot of men like to do this. I know my dad used to do it when he was alive. He used to love playing strategic games where you reenacted battle scenes.
You mean all the Civil War reenactments in the South?
It's online. It's computer games. So, like, you get to be somebody and you choose a historical figure and then you go and conquer the world. So it's like Civilization is the name of the game. So they're learning a lot about history, they're researching, but they're also, there is that energy of conquer, kill, soldiers, whatever. Energetically, how does that work in your mind? Is it exactly the same as a shoot 'em game or?
I would say it's pretty close.
Pretty close, okay.
It, part of it is a way to remove and release frustration. Anger, yes, you learn about history, but you imagine what it's like to be that person. But it might be fun if someone's playing that to challenge them, create a different outcome. You know, Genghis Khan was I think the world's biggest mass murderer, probably after Tony Fauci. But if you are able to change the outcome so it isn't bloody, how would that change history? And engage in the conversation where, if we're all evolving and you were alive during that time, what would you do to help the world evolve? And just pose the question, not as a goody two shoes, but as you're in power. How would you be a different power broker during that time? Still garner the respect of the people, but be a really incredible power broker. The Romans conquered half the world, half the known world at the time. Mm. Genghis Khan, I think, conquered the other half. But it was really bloody, it was a bloody mess. Mm. Could it have been different? Could it have been better? I think that's the question to ask, because it is better on other worlds. They've evolved so far past this.
And there are some very interesting stories in the books, and so I'll just direct people back to the ghost stories books about houses where you've cleared that are on land where there have been battles fought, because the blood and the land retains the predecessor energy, which is what you talk a lot about in those books. If somebody, and I'll just let people know that Tina is absolute expert at clearing predecessor energy from land. If somebody comes across and they feel like there's a portal open in their house or outside their house, a tree or something like that, and they want to educate themselves about that, how did you learn, and you don't have to give away your trade secrets, but how did you begin to understand in your mind when there was an open energy, a portal? And is there any tips and tricks that normal everyday people can begin to try to understand that energy and how to heal that energy? Is it, again, through prayer that is best for them to try before they contact somebody to clear that? Contacting you is going to be the most efficient thing, but what can people do themselves if they know that there is an open portal that's different to everything else that we've said? All of these other things is going to help, but is there, if somebody says, oh, I think I've got a portal in my house?
I do a lot of things to close a portal. It's a lot. It took me, I would say, almost 20 years to learn how to really do it so I'm not in danger.
Okay. So don't muck with it.
At the same time, there's no way somebody like me can be everywhere and do this for every single person. That would be arrogant. So I would offer that it's Occam's razor. Sometimes the simplest solution is the easiest one. I was doing a feng shui consult with my brother, and we had this terrible problem with this woman's kitchen, and I realized there was a portal underneath her kitchen. So we took aluminum foil, shiny side down, because if you look in aluminum foil, shiny side, it's a mirror.
Yeah.
We covered the area where we could feel the portal was, and the energy was click, turned off. For me, that's a temporary solution.
Yeah.
But it's a solution. Or if you know that something about that tree or that ground is really, you think it's a portal, put a mirror in a window that faces it. Send that energy back. I would offer that if you can use a mirror to do that.
Okay.
And I'm glad you asked the question, because if I were abducted by aliens tomorrow, went back to my home world, I would want other people not to feel vulnerable, to feel like they had some tools. So I think it's an excellent question.
Thank you. And one last question, and then I know we've taken 2 hours of your time. We have a bridge in Brisbane, which is called the Story Bridge, okay? And its nasty history started with people dying, as they do on most bridges, when they're building it. And it became Brisbane's most famous bridge to jump off and kill yourself. These days, they've got the fences. It took them a very long time and a very large number of people. I think what stopped it at the end of the day was a man jumped off the bridge with a child in his backpack, his son in a divorce proceeding. And then the authorities finally went, this is enough. And they put up enough high fences and enough 24/7 that nobody can jump off it now. But it took until the mid-1990s for that to happen. And this bridge has been up for a very long time by then. So this bridge is a hive of ghosts. They're all there still. Knowing that, as somebody who knows that's a magnet for this, all this energy, and you don't want to endanger yourself, but it's in the middle of a park and there's lots of people going around, is the most appropriate action to let like the angels know that this is a hot spot, that there's lots of people that need to be crossed over there? Like, where would somebody start with something so complicated? A public feature that you know is impacting a whole city.
Occam's razor is a simple solution. You can't ask angels. I mean, you can do it every night, but I would take the crossing, the compassion prayer for suicide and murder, because that man murdered that child.
Yeah, he did. Yep.
Compassion prayer for suicide and murder. I would take those prayers and print them out or make copies of them, copy them from a, and put them in plastic. And I would put the, I would put a photograph of the bridge facing the prayer, of two photographs of the bridge, one prayer facing the murderer, one murderer prayer, and one photograph facing the suicide prayer. Mm-hmm. And put them in a, like a plastic sleeve. So that prayer is now constantly connecting, using string theory, mm-hmm. with that prayer. It will constantly clear it, and then just stick those in a drawer and you're done.
Okay. Wow. That's a great idea. Okay. Thank you. Because that's my bridge in my city, and people who are listening to this have all got a bridge like that. So imagine if everybody who listened to this podcast, they knew there was a hot spot for suicide. They did the same thing. We create a great effect.
You can create a great effect. This is a really genius question, because that we've all seen that. And all those ghosts are lingering right there, and then they become magnets for people who want to take their lives, which is just such a, it's a sad thing.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's just opened up a whole world of known places that we can simply print out a picture and attach those prayers to it.
Well, there are prayers in the Crossing Over Prayer book for war dead. There are people throughout Europe, because these podcasts are global. I put them on Liberated Syndication and they go all over the world, and there are battlegrounds and skirmishes or mass shootings, and there are prayers for all of those things. So you take the name of the event, match it with the appropriate prayer, and put it away. And now you've linked healing to a location.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it's an, if you can make spiritual service practical, convenient, and easy to accomplish, you can get so much more done.
Mm.
And doing huge ceremonies, that's good for a day.
Yeah.
You need something that's good for the long term.
Mm.
So again, it's a great question. I'm glad you asked.
Thank you. I'm definitely going to have to print out all the notes from our transcript myself. We covered so much, and I thank you so much, Tina, for your time. It's just always enlightening and fascinating. And if you could just hold up the pictures of the books one by one slowly, so people, because you know, it's when you see the cover of the book that it cements in your mind to then go find it. So the first one is The Lightworker's Guide to Healing Grief. Second one is Karma and Frequency. Third one is Soul Evolution, Past Lives and Karmic Ties. Fourth is The Lightworker's Guide to Everyday Karma.
Of course, we have the Crossing Over Prayer
Book. Crossing Over Prayer Book.
And then we have Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View, Volumes 1 and 2 and 3. And what's fascinating, and maybe another time, is volume 3 has quite a discussion regarding premonitions and people who have future sight. It might be a fun one to do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's do that one. Perfect. All right. So you can find Tina. Tina, could you just spell out your URL for listeners?
It's Ghost Helpers, GHOST. HELPERS.com.
Okay. And also there's a little insight for purchasing books on Amazon.
A little insight is that as of today, Amazon just notified me that the cost of all paperback books, not just mine, everybody's paperback books are going to rise because printing costs have skyrocketed. So if you buy your paperbacks before June 20th, 2023, you will get the current price. But after June 20th, all those prices will go up.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Thank you once again, Tina, for your huge service to the world and for educating us and enlightening us on the very simple steps that we can take that can make a massive difference to our lives and to the lives of others. So thank you once again for spending your welcome. Time with us.
And thank you to everyone in Australia who's listening. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Tina.
Are you feeling weighed down by negative energy that doesn't feel like your own? Are you struggling to move forward in life despite your best efforts? Hi, I'm Katish Haberfield, and as a spirit releasement therapist, I can help you release those attachments and reclaim your power. Whether it's a past life connection, a spiritual entity, or an emotional cord, I can help you identify and release those energies that are holding you back. Book with me today and start living the life you deserve. Visit katish.com. For more information.